that we specially consider this morning in our sermon is verses 1 through 4 of 1 Peter 5. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Last year, around this time of the year, we had an installation service, and in that installation service last year, we focused on the office of deacon, if you will remember, and had a text from Acts chapter 6. And then we saw the duties of the deacon specifically. This year we focus on the other office of Jesus Christ, the work and the duties of the elder. And it's good for all of us sitting here this morning to consider this work of the elder. It's not only for the elders to listen to, but for all of us in this congregation. Notice in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4, that Peter is writing by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, not only to elders. This whole letter of 1 Peter was an epistle that was sent to the churches, and the churches read this letter. And so included in the reading of this letter to the entire congregation would have been these verses. It wasn't read separately to the elders in the council room. And so realizing that today, we seek to understand the work of the elders, all of us, because God intends for us all to know it. Often what is addressed to the elders can be applied to the deacons. That's why deacons must listen along. Deacons can learn from the work of the elders. And particularly in our congregation where the council is small, the deacons often do and are supposed to engage in the work of the elders to help the elders in their work. So very appropriately, they listen carefully to the work of the elders. The congregation, all of us, we are supposed to be electing men who are qualified to do the work of elders. And so, to vote properly, we must know what the elders have to do. Men, not yet in the office, young men, boys, teenagers, someday God may choose you to be in that office of elder. And thus you must know what this work of the elder is. Wives must understand that when their husbands are called to this work, whether now or later on, they have to do work to help their husbands in this difficult endeavor. And so they must understand the work of elders. All must learn this work so that we appreciate this work and receive it in submission. For good purpose, the Word of God comes to all of us this morning. Peter is the inspired writer of this text. And you should know that when Peter writes this text, the church to whom he writes is a suffering church. As a church that is enduring much persecution. You should notice that as we read chapter 5, how the devil comes as a roaring lion against the church. And the church must suffer through great persecution for their faith. You see that also in verse 19, right before the text, verse 19 of chapter 4. Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit to the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. So Peter calls the church there to trust in God, to commit their souls to God, and to have great hope in God as they suffer great persecution. But Peter knows that as he writes to the suffering church, and as he calls them to trust in God, that they need help day to day. And Peter, as an elder, can't be with these people day in and day out. He's not there. He realizes, however, that God has ordained elders in each of these congregations. These elders were to be the ones to help God's suffering people. And therefore, he writes in chapter 5 to the elders. for the help of God's people. Elders, do your work faithfully. And as he addresses the elders in this text, Peter brings himself down to the level of these elders. Peter's an apostle. He has authority over these elders to whom he writes. But instead of saying, I command you as an apostle of Jesus Christ to do this and do that, he doesn't say that. Instead, he says, I exhort you, who am also an elder. I am one of you, Peter says. I am an elder just like you. I understand the work that you are engaging in. I know it's difficult. And as an elder, a fellow worker in the church of Jesus Christ, now I exhort you. And exhort means, it includes a command, but it literally means I come alongside of you. I don't speak down to you, but I come alongside of you as a friend, as a fellow worker. And I call you, Peter says, to do this important work with me for the good of the suffering church of Jesus Christ. And so this morning, I, as an elder of this congregation, come alongside you elders and deacons. And I speak to you as a fellow elder, as a fellow office bearer. I exhort you, let us do the work that God calls us to. And remember that it's not Peter only that tells us the work we must do. It's not I as your minister speaking that tells you only the work that we must do, but it is Christ's word to us. Exhorted to shepherding. Exhorted by Christ to shepherding. First, the work. Second, the manner. And finally, the motivation we have in that work. Exhorted to shepherding. The work, the manner, and then the motivation. Yes, Jesus Christ calls the office bearers of His church to do work. And you should know that that work is not always easy. The kind of work that Jesus calls us to in this morning is the work of shepherding. Shepherding the flock that He has given to our charge. Now ministers, often the ministers of the word are called the under-shepherds of the church. They're often referred to as the one with the task of shepherding. But we see strikingly in God's word this morning that elders, not just the minister, not just the teaching elder, but all elders are called unto shepherding. Peter writes in the plural here in verse 1. The elders which are among you, you in the plural, shepherd the flock. That's literally what that word feed means. When it says feed the flock, literally it's shepherd the flock or shepherdize the flock. Care for the church as a shepherd would care for his sheep. Oh yes, that includes the minister as the teaching elder, but also the ruling elders in this church. Whether you're a teaching elder, whether you're a ruling elder, God's word says to you this morning, shepherd, shepherd, flock of Jesus Christ. Don't forget this, elders. Don't forget this flock here at Cornerstone. It's not one person being the under shepherd here. There are three more shepherds in the elders of this congregation. And all the elders are to shepherd this flock. Peter says, shepherd the flock which is among you. Which is among you. Elders do not have the responsibility to shepherd the flock at Crete or at Peace or at some other church in the community. But elders are called to shepherd this flock. This flock among you. This one with these specific members. This flock with its specific character. This flock with its specific weaknesses and strengths. And yes, every member of this flock, elders, every member of this flock, that's your responsibility. Each one of the sheep. You might breathe a sigh of relief that you're not in charge of the flocks of other churches. But every member here is part of the flock. Realize that. They each need your attention. The little child, the infant, the rambunctious boy that runs around outside, the quiet girl that you might not even notice, teenager who walks out of church immediately and sits in his car, a college student that goes off to college and is out of town most of the year, the woman who may not be friends with your wife, man who has a hard time fitting in, those who transfer from a different congregation, the elderly, the ones you feel that are awed, the ones in the nursing home, the ones in the hospital. Every member is part of this flock which is among you. And the call to elders especially and to you deacons is to shepherd the whole flock. And the work of the shepherd is specifically of three kinds. Feeding, leading, and guarding. Feeding, leading, and guarding. That should be familiar to us because we are familiar with the picture of a shepherd taking care of his sheep. In Psalm 23 that we just sang, the versification of Psalter number 55, sang about that. Shepherd feeds by bringing his sheep to lie down in green pastures. The shepherd guards because with his rod and his staff, he comforts the sheep. The shepherd leads in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. First, consider the feeding of the sheep. The King James translates the word shepherd in verse 2 as feed, feed, feed the flock of God. Because this is indeed the main duty of the shepherd. He must give nourishment. Nourishment not, of course, first of all, in terms of physical nourishment. Although the elders know that members of the church and the flock of Jesus Christ need physical nourishment, they're there to help. And they inform the elders of that, of the deacons of that need especially. But it's the spiritual nourishment that the elders must be engaged in. That is their work. That means they bring the Word of God to the sheep. They give that food for the souls of God's people. Again, it's often assumed that the minister has the duty of feeding the flock. As we saw in that form, the ordination of elders, especially, there is a distinction made between the elder that teaches and feeds the flock particularly, and the ruling elder that governs and has oversight. But the scriptures, though there is a distinction, show us here that all the elders are engaged in some type of feeding. Ministers to study the word and prepare sermons and feed the flock in that way, yes. But Jesus Christ, through the Apostle Peter here, shows us elders are to also feed. That's why they have the qualification in 1 Timothy 3, verse 2. You must be apt to teach, that is, able to teach. Your duty is to teach to God's people, to feed them God's word. Not to preach, I grant you that, but to counsel. To prepare to know God's word and bring it to the souls of God's people who need that counseling. To apply God's word to the sick. To use God's word to comfort. To use God's word to rebuke and discipline when necessary. To teach catechism when necessary. Elders are to prepare and come to Bible study so that they may make comments about God's word for the feeding of God's people. Elders may not have the duty to preach, but elders are to make sure that the preaching comes forth from the pulpit in the manner and the way that God's people need. You know, elders, you know this congregation better than I do. So you must make sure that what comes off this pulpit is indeed food, is indeed nourishment for the souls of God's people here. You're to urge God's people to read their Bibles. That's how you feed. Urge them to read, to do their devotions, to take up the Standard Bearer and the Beacon Lights and other good books and subscriptions so that they are fed. One great reason, elders, one great reason that churches today are not flourishing is because elders are not feeding and making sure that there is constant and consistent nourishment for the sheep. The sheep are malnourished or downright starving to death spiritually, though they may not know it. The deacons, along with the elders, of course, also feed. They bring the mercies of Jesus Christ. They meet and make visits with people who need help financially and physically and materially. They're not only feeding physically, but also nourishing spiritually with the Word of God. The second specific duty of shepherd is guarding the flock. The text explains to the shepherds the shepherding in these terms. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight or being an overseer. Put those two words around in that word and you understand the meaning of it. Overseer means someone who sees over, who watches over the flock. And the prime reason that the shepherd is watching over his flock as the shepherds did by night when Jesus was born. The main reason for that is so that they know when the flock is in danger. And they're ready then to guard their sheep with their staffs. They're ready to call out to their sheep a warning. They're ready to protect so that no harm comes upon their sheep. Stand guard. Elders, that is your duty. Watch over so that the sheep are preserved. It means you know about what the false doctrines are out there. You have your antenna up. You know what's going on in the world and what God's people face. And you warn the sheep of those false doctrines. It means you observe amidst the congregation any tension, any fighting that is starting. And you address the issue, the problem, to preserve the unity here. It means you notice the sinful habits that often crop up in the young people, the worldliness that creeps into the church slowly, and you're ready to rebuke and even discipline if needed for the protection, for the guarding of the sheep. It means you see, you notice any disinterest in the worship of God here, the covetousness that often rises up within the hearts of God's people for a newer, for a different type of worship that is not according to God's Word. And you make sure you preserve the pure worship of God here. You know the enemy. You know the weaknesses. You know the wolves. You understand your own sinful nature, elders. And you guard the sheep. Finally, the specific duty of the shepherd is leading the flock. That idea is included in the word, take oversight. To be an overseer, another translation of that word overseer is bishop. It's often used in Roman Catholic Church or in some other churches. But bishop is a word that is in the Bible, another word for elder. And that's the word that oversight, take the overseer is. So he's a bishop. If you're a bishop, that means you have an authoritative position of leadership. You're in an office, elders, of using your authority to lead God's people. You don't only have the right to, but elders have the calling to. They must lead. It's not easy in our day and age for elders and for God's people. Because we live in a world, people of God, and that affects us, all of us, as we hear about someone taking authority and leading us. It affects us because the world around us does not like any authoritative leadership. We don't like being told what to do. We want to be left alone without any accountability, without any need to obey anyone. The world hates authority and the church isn't far behind in their despising of that authority and that leadership. On the basis of God's word this morning, I call elders to do what others may not like, and that's lead. To use the authority God has given you. And when necessary, tell them. Tell God's people what they must do according to God's word. And God's people, you must take that authoritative leadership and receive it. Because the elders don't so much want to do that. They don't so much like to tell you what to do. But they're called to. It means you understand what God's word says, elders, and you lead them to follow God's word. Lead the sheep. Take that church order and you understand it and you make sure that God's church here is in line with that. You lead worship services when necessary. You lead in prayer. You lead in Bible study. You lead in getting work done. You lead in evangelism. You lead. It's not pride to lead. It's often the accusation. When people see you lead, they might say, such a proud man. He thinks he can stand up in front of us and tell us what to do. Some of the most humble men have led, been accused wrongly of pride. It's our duty, congregation, is the elders' duty. The elders are called to shepherd this flock, and we must do so by feeding, guarding, and leading. But there's a specific manner, too. How do we do this feeding, guarding, and leading? And the manner is just as important as the work. Negatively first, and then positively. The text includes three negatives. How not to lead. How not to guard. How not to feed. Feed the flock, first of all, not by constraint. Verse 2, feed the flock which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint. Meaning, don't do it just because you have to. Don't lead. Don't do the work of guarding and feeding just because someone comes and dares to tell you, Mr. Elder, you're not doing the work that God calls you to in the Scriptures. You don't wait for that. Elders are not to wait until it's absolutely necessary to address a problem. They're proactive. They're taking the initiative. They're not procrastinating and pushing it off. They're not dragging their feet on any issue. They're not waiting until something blows up. Then they must take care of it. They're doing it. They're doing it quickly. Not by compulsion or restraint. Why does Peter speak like this, first of all? First negative he brings up is that, not by constraint. Not because you just have to, because he knows. He's an elder. He's saying, I'm an elder coming to you, a fellow elder. He knows how difficult that work is. He knows how it's not so fun sometimes. He knows it's a lot of work to do and laziness is a temptation. Work of discipline and rebuke is not enjoyable. There are sheep in the flock that don't want to be helped. And Peter knows the fear of man. Remember Peter. He knows very well the fear of man. He fell to the fear of man and denied Christ 3 times. He knows the fear of man that elders will face. Nature, we want to be liked. We don't like to be disliked. So we want to only do what people are going to be pleased with. Don't do the work by constraint. Just because you have to. Don't avoid it. But know the work and readily accomplish it. Secondly, not for filthy lucre's sake. Filthy lucre is greed for gain. And particularly greed for monetary gain. For the elder who is paid for doing the work, like I am, it means not seeking to do the work for the money. I may not work for the pay. I may not estimate how many hours my work deserves or the pay deserves and only work that amount of time. But I must give myself as a minister to the work, no matter how much I receive, not for filthy lucre's sake. Our elders aren't paid. They may not do the work of the office as though they're not paid. They might not have their minds in any complaining attitude that I have to do all this work and I have no pay for it. That's not fair. They may not do the minimal because they feel like they're not getting paid. But more broadly, filthy lucre can be more broadly applied. Filthy lucre is doing the work for any kind of gain for self. Not just money. We may not do that work. So that we can feel powerful, so that we can be popular among the people. We may not be driven to do that work, so that people praise us. The mentality is never, what do I get out of it? That's filthy lucre. Doing the work for filthy lucre is doing the work for any other sake but Jesus' sake. Thirdly, not by constraint, not for filthy lucre. Thirdly, the negative, not lording it over the flock. Understand this carefully, elders. As you do the work of feeding and guarding and leading, you are not to do it in the manner of lording it over. Very importantly, this does not mean that we neglect leadership. It does not mean, as we have already said the elders should do, that we neglect telling the flock what to do. The negative here in verse 3 is not a contradiction of what Peter already said of having oversight and leadership over the flock. To understand the word for being lords over in verse 3, it literally means to lord against the flock. It is to use your authority then against the sheep. It is to use your authority as an advantageous position for yourself rather than for your sheep. It is the rule of a dictator, the rule of a tyrant who has in his own mind his good and not the good of the sheep. And he makes rules then. The elder who lords it over the sheep makes unbiblical rules like the Pharisees did, not for the health of the people, but to promote his own self-righteousness, for everyone to see that he obeys those rules. As man-made as they are. He tells the people what to do, not because he seeks their good, but because he wants to show them who's boss. that's lording it over. And we may not lead that way. Elders must lead with authority, but never against the sheep. Always using their authority for them. Positively then, not by constraint, not for filthy lucre, not lording it over, but positively, the manner is readily. Implied in, not by constraint, but willingly or readily. And then the synonym for that word is after filthy lucre, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, readily. Both these words mean the same thing, basically. Not because you're forced to do it, someone else says you must do it, but readily, on your own. Take it up. Not because you're getting paid, you're driven by money or something else, you'll get it readily, no matter what you get out of it. In the council room, elders and deacons too, when tasks come on the table, work to do, work that's no fun, work that's going to make you extra busy, elders are readily volunteering to take it up. As an application of this, elders, deacons, it is necessary for you go and read. Read a book. Read that manual, that handbook that you will be given. Though you might not read any manual of how to fix a lawnmower or your car, this is the manual you got to read. Read the manual of how to be a deacon, how to be an elder. And then readily, without someone having to tell you, without being forced, do the work. Do the work. Secondly, as examples. Neither is being lords over God's heritage, verse 3 says, but being examples to the flock. This is how. This is how you feed, lead, and guard. You are an example, a blameless example before God's people. Acts 20, verse 28, Paul says to the elders of the church of Ephesus, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to your flock. In order to take heed to your flock and care for your flock, Paul says you must first take care of yourselves, your families, your wife, your children. In order to preach to the flock, I must preach to myself and apply that preaching to myself. In order to feed the flock, we better show ourselves that we're feeding ourselves. We don't call the church to read their Bibles if we're not reading our Bibles. We can't call them to repentance if we're not repenting ourselves of our sins because we're sinners just like the rest. We can't tell fathers to lead in the home if we're not leading in the home. We can't help them work on attendance if we're not blameless in our attendance. We can't call them to educate their children to the best of their ability if we're not educating our children and giving them the best education they can get according to Scripture. Your example is necessary. And the flock has got to be able to see your example. That brings up the third manner positively. Readily as an example, but also as we live among them. Twice the text speaks of that. Verse 1, the elders which are among you, they're among you, are they not? Verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you. Doesn't mean just the people in your church. It means the people of the church among whom you live. In order for them to see your example, elders, they must know you. They have to see you, to talk to you. They have to have a relationship with you. They have to love you. So that they want to follow you. In order for you to know their needs and understand how they must be fed, and how to guard them best, you need to know them. Elders, you must live among these people, deacons too. They aren't just names in a directory. They aren't just numbers in the budget envelopes. They're people with souls that we must love. Elders and deacons must make the effort to know and talk to every single person. Invite them even to our homes. Live among the sheep. Show them that you are one of them. The struggles like they have. And lead them among them. Imagine a shepherd who stands up on a mountaintop and shouts down directions to his sheep. There's no way to lead. No way to guard. No way to feed. We can't stand aloof. We must be one of them. And live that way. Finally, to sum up the shepherd's manner of feeding, guarding, and leading his sheep, it's as Jesus Christ would. As Jesus Christ would. Verse 4 calls Christ the chief shepherd. That means he's like the manager of all the shepherds. The chief shepherd in Bible times was in charge of many flocks of sheep. And then he distributed those flocks to under-shepherds, shepherds under him. And those under-shepherds didn't take care of the sheep the way they wanted to take care of the sheep, but they had to take care of the sheep as Jesus Christ would, or as their chief shepherd would. That's what we must do. We aren't doing things our own way, but we are shepherds to the flock, showing Jesus Christ to them. God's people are living in their life feeling so far away from their God and unable to see Jesus Christ working in their lives. They must see elders. They must see deacons, office bearers in the church as Jesus Christ ministering to them. And here's one particular way that Jesus Christ cares for His sheep, elders, deacons. John 10 verse 11, you know it. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. And the good shepherd giveth His life for His sheep. Office bearers, elders, you're going to be busy. It's going to be difficult to balance your time. There are going to be late nights. People aren't always going to like you. They didn't like Jesus. Remember, Jesus, who was giving His life for the sheep, was persecuted by the very people He was giving His life for. And so the call to you, if you are to shepherd the sheep as Jesus Christ would, is to shepherd your flock even when they're killing you. Give your life for the sheep. Why? What's your motivation? Threefold. First, the shepherd guards, leads, and feeds the sheep of Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ will hold you accountable. He will hold us accountable. These sheep, you see, though they may be sinful and weak and stubborn, are precious. They're precious to Jesus Christ. He loves them dearly, more than you can even imagine. Jesus says, and God says, these are my sheep. Verse 2 reminds us of that. Feed the flock of God. They belong to Him. They are His possession. They're the ones that He has chosen from the very foundations of the earth. He says, they are mine. I haven't chosen every single person, but I've chosen these sheep as my precious sheep. And Jesus has shown His great love for His sheep by coming and suffering the way He did. You want to know how precious they are to Jesus? And you remember. You think about what Jesus did for them. Peter says that in verse 1. I am a witness, meaning I was an eyewitness of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. I lived with Jesus, Peter is saying, and I saw the persecution that came upon Jesus. I saw the agony of Jesus Christ when He was forsaken by the disciples and by myself. I saw the agony of Him as He was in the Garden of Gethsemane so that He sweat those bloody drops of sweat unto the ground. I saw Him hanging on the cross. I saw Him enduring the wrath of God. I hear Him cry. I heard Him cry, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? I know, Peter says, I was a witness of how much Jesus loves the sheep. Now he says, Shepherd, I place these sheep, these precious ones, in your charge. You take care of them as I would. Let them see me, the good shepherd. The word heritage in verse 3 refers to that. Heritage means allotment. Christ has lots of different flocks. He says, this is your allotment. These are the ones that I give to you, to your charge. And one day, elders, deacons, we're going to stand before God, and Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, we must give an account. Jesus will look at us in the face, and He will say, how did you care for these sheep that I love, for these sheep that I've given my life for? What will be our answer? Woe to the shepherds of Israel who feed not His valuable flock. No, you didn't sign up for this, elders, deacons. I tremble with you at that thought. We didn't volunteer to be in this office. But it's God, through Jesus Christ, who's called you. It's not even the people of this church who has chosen you to do this work. Though God used them, it's not them. It's not some popularity contest, though people might flippantly or bitterly call it that. It's Jesus who says, this is what you must do. I've chosen you to it. And we must obey our Lord. He will hold us accountable to that. We won't do it perfectly. No. We're called to faithfully carry it out. Were you faithful? He will ask. Were you faithful? The second motivation in this text is we will be rewarded. Elders and deacons who serve the flock of Jesus Christ, there will be a reward of glory. Verse 4. When the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Yes, other of God's people will also receive glory. The elders know you will receive the reward of glory too. Glory, remember, is the shining beauty of God's attributes. He has all glory in Himself. He has all righteousness, holiness, grace, love, long-suffering. All of those attributes are shining forth in great splendor from God's very being. And one day, God says, Christ shall come and give to His faithful elders, though not perfect, but faithful elders, He will give this shining beauty of God's attributes. He will crown them with this glory. It doesn't mean literally that He's going to place a golden crown on your head. But that means, this text means, He will crown you with glory. The crown is that glory, shining more abundantly than any golden crown that can sit on your head. The crown of glory will be upon you. And yes, on some, there will be greater glory than others in heaven. And that glory will never fade in its value and beauty. It won't be a crown earned or merited, because God is the one who works any grace in us to carry out the callings in life. But it will be a crown that is a reward of grace. Elders and deacons are called to faithfully carry out their office, because God will reward with that crown of glory. But not only will elders and deacons and all of God's people be rewarded with a crown of glory in the end, but God does reward even in this life. Peter speaks of that in verse 1. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who I am also an elder, I'm one of you, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also, he says, a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. As an elder, Peter says, I've been doing this work of an elder, and not only do I look forward to glory, but I've tasted it. God has allowed me to partake of this glory now. Because as elders, deacons, as you engage in this office, difficult work, there will be the enjoyment of spiritual blessings, sanctification through hard times, a better understanding of God's attributes, a greater ability by His power to live lives that shine forth His glory. Taste of God's glory even now as you work in this office. The motivation is we're held accountable before Jesus Christ. It is that we will receive a reward of glory. But the final motivation is most important. Why work to shepherd and feed and guard and lead every sheep in this flock? Why do it without constraint? Why do it without lording it over? Why do it as readily as possible, as examples to give yourself and your time to the flock? It's this reason. It's the reason that we do any good work, as difficult as it may be to do that good work. You have gratitude in your heart, the sacrifice Jesus has made for you. Because elders are not only shepherds. Deacons are not only shepherds. We're also the sheep. We're another one of this flock. You and I must humbly realize, elders and deacons, we're sinful sheep just like everyone else. And as respected as you may be, we're a sinner on the way to hell just like everyone else if it were not for Jesus Christ. He has endured a hellish agony for you, for your sin, for your salvation unto eternal life and any glory that you might receive now or in the future. Peter says, I am a witness of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And he means by that, I was an eyewitness of the sufferings of Jesus Christ, not only for this flock, but I saw Him suffer for me. I saw Him suffer for my denial of Him, Peter says. I saw Him suffer for all my specific sins. Elders, do you see that? Are you a witness of that? Because if you realize the immensity of Christ's sacrifice for your sins, elders and deacons, then you'll say, I'll do anything. I'll do anything for my Lord. Out of gratitude. What He's done for me. Have Thine own way with me, Lord. Put me in that office. Give me that work. Because I'm thankful. And there's nothing I will refuse to show my thankfulness to my Savior. And elders and deacons, the shepherd of the sheep has not only saved you, but He empowers you as part of His salvation. He gives you strength to live the godly life. And that shepherd works His Spirit in our hearts so that we might be good shepherds like He is a good shepherd. Amen.